Welcome to episode 300 of the Women of the Military podcast. This week my guest is Kimberly McMeanum. Kimberly joined the Army through Army ROTC when she was looking for a way to pay for college. Her dad recommended that option and she decided to do that and was able to get a scholarship through ROTC that helped pay for school. She worked as an Army resource officer, and she had the opportunity to serve overseas in Korea, and she shared about the positive and some of the negative things throughout her military service. She left the military in 2019 and worked as a civilian in the human resource career field, and then recently transitioned to being a stay-at-home mom. This led her to come up with the idea to create books for military kids that are focused on helping kids get excited about their new assignments. You can learn more about her books at HelloHomeBooks.com, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in the episode, so stay tuned for that. But before we get started, I want to remind you that Women of the Military podcast is available on Reese Across America Radio on Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern and Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, and you can listen on iHeartRadio, the TuneIn app, or Odyssey. Now with that out of the way, let's get started with this week's interview. So let's talk a little bit about how your military journey began. Why did you decide to join the military? See, I messed up, so I took the pressure off.
Okay, good. When I was looking at colleges when I was a junior in high school, I really wanted to go to Creighton University, which is in Omaha, Nebraska. It's a private Jesuit college, so very expensive. So my dad kind of steered me to look at joining the military to help pay for it. And so I went and I interviewed for the Creighton ROTC scholarship program, and I got a full ride scholarship to Creighton. And that's what led me into the military.
That's all. So had you ever thought about joining the military before that?
No, not really. It was never really in my, you know, purview to join the military. I wanted to be a doctor, which I did not end up being. But I would have loved to be an Army doctor if I would have made that dream come true. But I did not, so.
That's awesome. So, yeah, so you ended up joining the Army through Army ROTC. And was that your, like, first real exposure to military life when you joined ROTC? So what was that immersion like? I saw you nod your head.
Yeah, so that was my first, because my grandfather was in World War II, but obviously way before I was born. So that was my first real exposure. I really enjoyed it. I found a really great group of people that had similar mindsets to me. And I really enjoyed it. I liked the whole having the rules and the regulations. And so I kind of found my niche in ROTC. And I really enjoyed the military life, if you can call ROTC military life.
I think you can. It's kind of like military light, where you get some aspects of the military, but it's not like actually, you know, being in the military. And I loved it when I first joined ROTC because it was the same thing. I found like a group of people with a similar mindset and like a passion and a purpose. And I just really connected in a way that I hadn't. And I think that aspect of the military is in ROTC, and it's something that you find when you join. So
yeah, definitely. It made my 4 years really good. So, and I have lifelong friends that I still talk to from ROTC, so that's really cool too.
So during ROTC you go to field training. I think it's usually between your sophomore and junior year, or your junior and senior. Army is a little bit different than Air Force, and they always change stuff. So what was it like to go to your field training, officer training?
Yeah, so that's between our junior and senior year, and I loved it. I had a blast. Obviously, you have the sucky times where you're dirty and grungy and you haven't showered in a week, but I had a lot of fun. I had a really, really good platoon who was really close. You hear about these horror stories of people fighting with their fellow platoons and everything, but we did not have that. We had a really, really good relationship, and everyone got along really well. I remember when we were trying to, you know, figure out who gets a bathroom when, because there was only one bathroom in our barracks, even though we were separated, male and female, all the guys came together and were like, no, this is when the females are going to have the bathroom. And I was like, wow, like, okay, that's cool. You know, they were very, you know, welcoming and, you know, made that happen for us. So I thought that was really cool. You know, we didn't have to, you know, argue or, you know, play sides. It was just kind of decided for us that this is okay. This is what we're going to do. So.
And what year was that you went through that training?
That would have been 2011.
That's kind of crazy. We had like separate bathrooms and we were like, yeah, we would not have all fit in I don't even know how it would have worked to have one bathroom for males and females. Like, yeah. We were all in the same living area. Like, we each had different, there were like 4-person rooms. And so like we all had women in each room that, you know, of 4 people. And then the men were, and so we were like all mixed together, but we were each in our separate room. But then there was a male and female bathroom and we didn't have a lot of time to shower. So I'm like, I don't even know how we would have made it all work.
Yeah, we just had a huge open barracks, top floor, bottom floor, and then the bathroom was on the bottom floor. And it had, you know, 5 or 6 stalls and 5 or 6 showers, but we all had to share it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear that happening deployed, because when I was deployed, we had male and female showers, was like everything was together, and it was quite the adventure. But we were deployed. That's like, yeah. That doesn't really make sense during training.
Yeah, very different.
Well, I'm glad to hear that I had such a good experience. So is there anything else from ROTC that you want to talk about as part of your military experience?
It's one thing that's cool. I don't know if other branches do this. I assume they do, is as a follow-on to your leadership course, after your junior year, you can apply for an internship, or I think they called it CTLT, and I have no idea what it stands for. But I did a medical internship at Fort Carson. So I went and I did a 3-week rotation, and it was super cool because I got to see surgeries. I can't even remember what else I did. I did surgeries. I did just like a medical floor and things like that. And it was really cool seeing that aspect. And I was just, I applied for it thinking that, you know, that would be cool to do. So I spent a month at Fort Carson right after just doing a medical internship.
That's really cool. Yeah. The Air Force had that, but we went to field training like between our sophomore and junior year. And then between our junior and senior year, you could do in that summer like a 3-week internship, or I don't remember, they called it something. I like how you're like, I don't know what that acronym means.
No,
people used to be like, stop me mid conversation, like, what does that acronym mean? I'm like, I don't know, it means like a school that we go to, like, I don't know.
I know,
it's letters and they do have meaning. Yeah,
Google,
like, what
it.
Is an MRAP stand for? It's a big truck that we ride around in. I don't know what it stands for.
Yeah, I know there's so many acronyms in the military, and my husband is still in, and he'll say something, and I'm like, okay, like, back in the memory bank, back in the, okay, okay, I got it.
Yeah. Yeah, my husband's in the military, too, and I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
That sort of makes sense. I got the general idea.
Yeah, exactly.
So, what job did you end up picking when you said you didn't become a doctor, so what did you end up doing?
So I graduated with my bachelor's in social work from Creighton, and I branched adjutant general, so human resources, in the Army, which was my first pick. Thankfully, I didn't like expect to go into HR, I guess. I was just kind of like, oh yeah, I think this would be kind of cool. So I branched HR, human resources, AG, I don't know.
And so when you graduated from from college and you commissioned as a lieutenant, what do all lieutenants go to? I'm like, there's a school and I can't remember the name of it.
So I got selected. I applied to be a cadre member for that summer training that you do between your junior and senior year. So I was selected for that. So I actually got to do that before, which was super cool. So I spent 3 months out at Fort Lewis, being a cadre member, and I ran the lane, like cultural awareness lanes, which was a lot of fun. And then after that, I went to basic officer leader course. We call it BULIC, at Fort Jackson for around 3 months. I think just a little less than 3 months.
And then do you go on to your job-specific school? Is that what the next step is?
Nope. So I did the basic leader course is job-specific. So I went to the Adjutant General Basic Officer Leader course. So then after that, I went to my first duty station, which was in South Korea. Yeah, just a little bit of a culture shock there.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that, like, experience of being in your young 20s, young 20s. Yeah, that works. Young 20s in Korea, that's far away from home. That's quite an experience. What was that like?
It was good. So I was really hoping that I would be the human resources officer of a unit. So an S1 is what the Army calls it. And when I got there, they were trying to decide where to put me. And there were a couple positions. I don't remember where. I think one was in Seoul, South Korea. And they decided that I needed to go up to Camp Casey, Korea, which is about 13 miles from the DMZ of North and South Korea, as far as north as you can get in Korea, like stationed. And they decided that because the lieutenant that was there before wasn't a very strong lieutenant. So nobody was doing PT up there. Everyone was failing their PT tests. There were some behavioral issues and things like that within the postal platoon up there. So I got to go up there and try to set things right. And for the most part, we did really well. It was a lot of, you know, not networking, but, you know, building relationships, because, you know, the guy who had the platoon before me, he would come into work and leave, you know, he didn't really care about the soldiers. So building those relationships was really important. We'd do fun things out of work as well. The kind of crappy thing is, you know, it's not a Monday through Friday with the mail. You have to work on Saturdays because you get mail 6 days a week. So there was a lot of grumbling, you know, every Saturday we were in and working. So we did a rotational basis. So yeah, you'd probably have to work one or two Saturdays, but you didn't have to work every single one. And I think that helped a little bit with the morale and everything. And we did things outside, and we would unload the mail at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then we'd all go on a run together. And we ended up having the highest PT average for our platoon for our human resources company, which was really cool. So I'm proud of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a challenge. I think sometimes people in the military, there's a lot of jobs that aren't like a typical 9-to-5 job, and it's hard to have to work, you know, Saturdays, especially when like your buddies are not working Saturdays and you're not only working like one Saturday, it's like a continual thing. So I like the idea of rotation. And it also is interesting that they were like, hey, brand new lieutenant, come out here and fix this unit. Did they have like a lot of faith in you, or like how did they end up choosing you? It's kind of funny. They're like, it's so bad. She'll either fail or she'll do great. We'll see what happens.
I think that's what it was. Is like she'll either fail or do great, and just kind of, you know, whichever. And there were a couple lieutenants that came in with me as well, and they stayed there. So I don't really know what relinquished me, but I really liked my commander at the time. She was really great, hands on if I needed her to be, but very hands off if I didn't need her help. So I had a lot of autonomy, which was really nice to operate kind of in my first job.
Yeah, that's really cool. And it sounds like you did turn everything around, because they went from like failing to the best PT scores, and you helped. It sounds like you cared a lot about the people. So you heard like what challenges they were having, and then you were like, we still have to work on Saturdays, but we can try and do it this way so that we're not working every Saturday.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, I've always been very people-centered. So it was really important for me to go in and build relationships with everyone that I could, you know, especially those that I work with.
So were you in Korea for 1 year or two?
Just 1 year. Then following that, I moved to the executive officer of 90th Human Resources Company at Fort Stewart. And I was very bummed. Yeah, in Georgia. I really, really wanted to move to that S1 HR job. And my brigade HR manager, I remember him sitting me down and saying, again, I need you to go help 90th Human Resources Company because they're a mess. And I was like, great. And he said, you just do this for a year, you know, and I will make sure, I'll guarantee that you get an S1 job, so an HR slot. And I said, all right, sir, you got it. And I found out that I do not like anything dealing with property. So that was fun.
You're like, and I learned that I don't like this. And you're like, and I really want to be in the S1 shop. That's where I want to be. I thought you were like, I don't want to be here because it's Fort Stewart. But you're like, and no, they didn't give me the job that I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. Fort Stewart is great. You know, like Tybee Island, really close. Savannah's super nice. So I loved the location. I did not like my time as EXO. I had a very difficult commander as well. So that was a really big challenge as well.
Yeah, it's like an added challenge when you have a commander that isn't supporting you or, you know,
not present. Yeah.
Were you able to get out of that job after a year and move to somewhere new, or did you?
Yep.
Or did you stay there?
Nope. So he said he'd guarantee it, and he did. So just over a year that I had been an EXO, I was moved to 19 Field Artillery as their S1. Yay!
That's awesome. So what was that like?
I loved it. So I felt a little behind the curve because I had no idea, you know, it had been a couple years since I did my bullock for my job. So there was a lot that I didn't remember, but I had a really, really good team. I had a really good NCOIC who took me under her wing, and I really liked field artillery. The people were really nice, very down to earth, very welcoming. They had just, when I got there, opened field artillery to women. So for the first, you know, couple months, myself and my chemical officer were the only ones, the only females, female officers. So it was a good stepping stone, I think, to get, you know, to take those and bring all the field artillery officers that were women in. So it was really cool seeing them integrate, and field artillery is very welcoming. I personally think, at least from my experience, they were very, very welcoming. So I loved my time as an S1 there. And if I could go back, if like they told me, hey, you have to go back into the military, I'd say, okay, fine, but you have to make me an S1 for a field artillery unit.
That's awesome. The interview I did, let me look what number it is. 298, so just 2 weeks ago, her interview, she talked about she wanted to be in field artillery and she couldn't be in field artillery because it wasn't open to her. But then a couple years later, she was able to get into field artillery. And so her interview kind of goes well with yours because she talked about, because she's still in the National Guard, and she's talked about how like she went from being the only woman to being like, now there's like a team of women that she can deploy with and that she has different people in. So it sounds like it's a really good career field for women. And now that it's open, women are taking advantage of that opportunity. And so that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It was so much fun. I liked it a lot. We even went to JRTC, which is, people don't use like JRTC and fun together. You're going to old Fort Polk, now Fort Johnson. But I had a lot of fun at JRTC. So probably not the average response you get.
You're like, that doesn't really go that way. But yeah, it sounds like you really, really loved it. So that's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I loved my S1 time there.
So at the end of your time there, did you get out or did you move to a new assignment or what happened?
So I went to Captain's Career Course at Fort Jackson for 6 months. And then I went to Fort Drum, New York, where I took another S1 job for 66 Air Cav.
You got like the best assignments.
I loved Fort Drum.
You did. That's awesome.
I love being outside. I love the cold. So I loved Fort Drum. There was a lot to do. I mean, yeah, it's cold, but I don't know. I really enjoyed my time there. So when I was there, we rotated to Camp Humphreys in South Korea. So I went back to Korea for 9 months. So that was not expected. I was hoping to get a deployment, but I did not. So
you were working an S1 job. You were in really far. Isn't it upstate New York? It's cold. Yeah. That's what I knew. I knew it was really cold, but you liked it. You liked being outdoors. You liked the cold. And then when you went to Korea, did you go to Seoul or did you go back up really high north?
We went to Camp Humphreys, which is south of Seoul. Yeah. And it was fine. It was okay. I mean, I don't know. It wasn't terrible, but I didn't really like going back to Korea. It's a lot to see. Like, it's a lot of cool things that you can do in Korea. I was hoping for something else, but that's okay.
You go where the army sends you, right?
Exactly. And so I did 9 months there, and then I came back and I had just about a year left on my contract. So I started doing the SFL TAP program, and I did an internship with them. So I didn't really work my S1 job for the last 9 months that I was in the army. So you
were able to start working on transition before you got out of the military.
Yes. Yes. I had a really easy transition, thankfully. I applied for this internship, which was basically just sitting in class and listening to videos to test in preparation of the Senior Professional Human Resources Certificate. And so I did that. And then while I was doing that, I was applying for jobs. And my now husband was stationed at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. So I was looking at jobs around there. And I applied and interviewed for 3 jobs, and I was given there. They requested me for a job. So I accepted that job, and I actually started working a month before I was out of the military at my civilian job, which was a really nice transition.
Yeah, that's great. So you moved, you got a job, everything went smoothly. That's good. It sounds like you had a really good transition experience, and it sounds like the programs that the military is putting in place to help veterans or help service members as they transition really was helpful to you. So that's really great to hear.
Yeah, and there are really good programs, but some people don't take them or don't know about them. So if somebody is transitioning out, SFL TAP is a really great resource, but there's also things not SFL TAP, things that you don't have to do that you should do. So trying to get those internships, get those certifications while the Army will pay for them is really, really important.
Yeah, and SkillBridge is a really good program. I know there's talks of getting rid of SkillBridge, but I've heard like so many good things about SkillBridge, which is another internship program for military members where you actually like work for a civilian company, and sometimes you can get a job, but you definitely can get experience, or you can, you know, work with a company and be like, I don't want to do this. And so it's a really nice opportunity. So
yeah, definitely.
I know one of my husband's lieutenants or captains did SkillBridge, and he worked with the company. He was like, I don't know, this is a lot different than I expected, and I've learned a lot, but it's not quite what I thought I was gonna do. And so I know he had an interesting experience and got a lot of valuable information doing that on hands-on learning while he's still in the military and working for another company. So you transitioned, but that's been a few years.
Yeah, I transitioned in 2019.
And then the pandemic happened.
Yeah. So I was working, I worked human resources for an oil and gas company in Houston, Texas. So there were a lot of ups and downs with oil and gas, and then a lot more ups and downs with the pandemic and stuff. But I worked throughout the pandemic, and everything worked from home for a little bit, which was kind of nice. But I left that job a year ago, yeah, just a little over a year ago, to be a stay-at-home mom. So I don't think I will ever go back to civilian human resources, but I have no idea what I want to do when I grow up.
That sounds about right. Especially like in that transition from being in the workforce to staying home, it really like changes your perspective. And my kids are now 11 and 8, and I am like, I kind of want to go back to work, but I also really like the flexibility of being a stay-at-home mom. And so then that's why I have a business, because I can set my hours and I have that flexibility where I can still be there for my kids. But while they're at school, I have, you know, I can do these podcast interviews and I can do all this other fun stuff. And you also started another adventure with one of your I was going to say Air Force, Army veteran friends. So can you talk a little bit about that as well?
Sure. So I met my friend Alex at Fort Stewart when we were in the human resources company. And that was been 10 years ago. And we have kept in touch for those 10 years, which is crazy. But I had an idea, especially with my kids. So I have twin 2.5-year-olds and they just moved for the second time. And in the next year, we'll probably move for the third time in their very short lives. So, you know, there's, you know, thousands of kids who move every year with the military, and you know, there's programs and things for them to kind of help them transition. But one of the ways that I'm really trying to teach my boys is through books. And so one of my twins was pushing. So I bought a book about, you know, little dinos don't push. So I had this idea of, why is there not a book series for children who are moving to new bases to excite them about the new base that they're going to? And Alex is kind of my dartboard for everything I'm thinking, you know, is this right? Is this wrong? Should I be thinking this? Should I be thinking that? So I asked her, you know, hey, is this a good idea or is this not a good idea? And she's like, that is like the best idea ever. So Alex and I started Hello Home Books, which is publishing books about the different military bases. We're starting with Army because that's the ones that we know. Different Army bases around the United States and the fun things that they can, that kiddos can do when they get there or while they are there.
I really love that because my 8-year-old, I don't know if you watch Bluey. If you don't, you should. But the Bluey did an episode about moving, and then, spoiler alert, at the end they don't move. And I was a little, like, watching it, horrified that I was watching it with my military children and that they decided, like, not to move. And so then I talked to my kids afterwards, and my 8-year-old was like, I was, like, so excited to see, like, Bluey's new house and Bluey's new this. And so, like, he was more disappointed about, like, all the things that she wasn't going to experience in moving, instead of being mad that, like, I was like, why would you have an episode on moving and not move? Anyways, but it was really an interesting perspective to talk to him. But that was, like, the thing that he was, like, disappointed about was, he was like, I wanted to see their new house. I wanted to see the new parks they would go to. And so it's really cool to hear, because there are some books out there on, like, the emotions of moving, but I love the idea of getting kids excited by being like, this is where we're going. This is the new things that you can do. This is, like, the new place. And I think just hearing, like, my son's story of, like, him wanting to know, like, what new things she was going to get to experience and being disappointed, that I think would really help in the transition process of helping kids to, you know, visually be able to see where they're going to go before they get there, because everything's so abstract, but this is like a physical.
Yeah, definitely. Our first book was Hello Home Fort Liberty, which we published in June. Fort Liberty is old Fort Bragg in North Carolina. And Alex and I had never been there. So when we went there a couple of months ago, we have the book that has, you know, all the places that we went to. And we're like, oh my gosh, like this is in the book. Like, this is, we're here. So I hope that, you know, kids get that too. You know, they've, you know, had this book for a couple weeks and they're moving here and they now see the spot that's in the book. So I hope they get that same excitement that Alex and I did.
Yeah, I love that. That sounds so cool. I just think it's a, like, interesting way to look at moving, especially for kids, because it's just, I mean, especially because that's what my 8-year-old talked about. And so I think that's why it resonates so well with me. So I'm really excited. So if people want to get your first books out, and more will be coming, where should they go to get more information?
So our website is hellohomebooks.com, or they can follow us on Facebook. So yep, Hello Home Fort Liberty is out, and Hello Home Fort Leavenworth is coming out in October. We plan on doing pre-orders in the first week of October. So our illustrator is all done. She does all of her illustrations hand watercolor paints, which are absolutely beautiful. So they're all done. We're just waiting on the final proof to set pre-orders to open.
That sounds so awesome. That's really great. So is there anything else you want to share about this new endeavor before we wrap up the interview?
I don't think so. It's been, I don't know. So we self-publishing. I never thought that I would be an author. Yeah, you know, that just wasn't in my like career path, I guess. Self-publishing is really, really difficult, but there's so many resources that you can get, whether you just Google it, do your research. So even if it's something that's not in your career path or something that you think you're going to do, if you have an idea and you want to do it, do it. You can reach out to lots of people who will help you and give you advice and things like that. We've met some really encouraging people who just want to give us advice, which is awesome and very, very, you know, helpful. And we're thankful for that. So that's really cool too. So definitely if there's something that women want to do, we can do anything. So go for it.
That is very true. I love that. And to add more advice, because you just gave great advice for aspiring authors. What if someone's considering joining the military? What advice would you give them if they were thinking about joining?
I think if you're joining the military, you need to talk to women who are either in the military or have been in the military. Not to dissuade you. You know, people have all sorts of experiences, good and bad. And so just getting a good idea of what you're getting yourself into. And if you're still unsure, try it. If you do your 4 years and then you get out, or if you make it a career, that's okay. But I definitely think trying it, it's valuable for everyone.
And I like you, wrote a book. It's A Girl's Guide to Military Service, and it's for young women who are considering joining the military. And so if you're thinking about it and you're looking and you don't know where to start and what questions to ask, it's a great way to get you started in thinking about a career and deciding if the military is right for you. So I recommend checking that out. I'll put a link to your book in the show notes, and then there's going to be a link to my book. There always is in the show notes. So we'll have all those links down there so people can find them easily. And thank you so much for being a guest. I'm really glad we got to do this interview.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much.